And Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How are you doing today?
We are.
We certainly are. Here again to talk about your writings and what I've been posting lately on the website, spiritualhealingsource.com. I'm getting a common theme in the last few postings that we've put up. I'd like to talk to you about that common theme and maybe uncover a little bit more detail in that vein, because you seem to be saying the same thing over and over again, but not punching us hard with it. It's just kind of a gentle nudge. What I'm picking up is you are suggesting that when the person is attending church, that they are learning unbelief. That's what I get when I read the last 2-3 articles that you've sent me. There's a hint of it in each particular one. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about, first of all, is that what you believe? And if so, why?
Well, you know, I never would have put it in those words until right now. Tell me how that's triggering in your being. I agree, but I want to hear from you what you're thinking.
Well, there's some very subtle attacks to the church in the last 3 articles. And I could read them to you if you'd like me to pull up the particular references where I'm picking that up.
I'd love it.
Okay, well, hang on. I'll pull them up. Okay, Brad, what I've found is on the last 2 posts, there are 2 fairly strong, I don't want to use, well, no, I'm going to use the word indictments of organized Christianity. And one of them is, it goes like this. Millions upon millions of people follow all kinds of religious belief systems. Jesus did not say you couldn't knock until you believed a certain way. Can a Muslim knock on the door? Can a homosexual knock on the door? Why single out these 2 groups? Because both have a tendency to be judged as unworthy to take part in organized Christianity, in spite of Jesus declaring clearly not to judge or be in danger of being judged. So, that's one. And in our previous podcast, I believe that you actually said the words, the church creates unbelief. In this article that we're putting with the podcast, you say, what I found shocked me because it contains some of the same old stuff of the organized church that misses the point. When I accept the call to come out of organized Christianity, I was instructed not to judge her. What I'm bringing attention to is you clearly highlighted that the organized church is missing the point. You even capitalize it. And then further on down the line, you strongly state it's high time organized Christianity began moving according to the destiny that was proclaimed through its namesake. Those are pretty strong words. And in our last podcast, I'm pretty sure I remember you saying that Christianity, or church, taught unbelief. What's going on? Yeah. Starting to feel a little angry or frustrated or...
Oh, not at all. But you know, I'll tell you what gave me freedom to make remarks like that was to begin looking at what Jesus said to the religious of his day. He called them painted over grave markers, said that their one way of taking what he said was that their mothers were snake, you know, you serpent's brood is how it's in the King James, but it's clearly, what's a brood? It's a mother hen with her brood. Okay, so your mother is a snake. He had some other nice little things. So he was really anti the religious of his day. We don't have to label which ones that were, because almost anybody that was looking towards something else, or as what's forming in my consciousness right now is anybody that was replacing God or replacing the source with a substitute. And whether that's the Bible, a church, a synagogue, it doesn't make any difference. So I think that's all I'm pointing out is that's where I got the freedom to do that. You said what's going on, that's where it started.
Okay, but your reference to Jesus as accusing the church of his time and calling them names, but that was a common practice. There was no separation of church and state. The general public quite frequently chastised or complained or judged the existing church for their behaviors and viewed them as collaborators with Rome, even, because the church had to interact with the governor of Rome and and so on and so forth. Everybody complained about the church in Jesus' time.
So what's your point?
It's a cultural issue as opposed to just, oh, I have freedom to do it, or because Jesus did it, it was the right thing to do, or what are you trying to say?
Well, what do you mean? Are you saying I'm out of step with today's culture?
No, it seems to be quite popular to point fingers at the church as well today and say that it's not right. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of websites that lambaste the church for everything from Catholic Church homosexuality or pedophilia and to born-again Christians, evangelical and tithing and so on and so forth. I mean, everybody's got an axe to grind, it seems. And are you just another axe grinder or what?
No, I don't think so. I'm coming from the perspective that Jesus said some things that the church is either ignorant of or openly rebellious of. And I'm not sure which it is in each instance. But
okay, but Jesus was a Jew, and he was talking about the Jewish faith at that time, not the Christian faith.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what he said to his followers. For example, you know, one of my things is that he clearly said to his disciples, I believe to us by extension, that they should neither call or refer to anyone else as a spiritual leader, being spiritually spiritual authority or spiritual superiority, nor should they allow themselves to be called by any title that would imply that. And what's organized Christianity? But just loaded with that kind of thing. So, in a, you know, recent podcast, you chastened me for based on two experiences that you had. One was in a church in Florida that you attended where everybody refused those kinds of titles. And to which I said, okay, fine. You know, so there's one church out of how many hundreds of thousands that is obedient in that one arena. So I don't know. I don't think I'm doing it just to jump on the bandwagon of a bunch of people who hate the church. I'm doing it from the perspective of saying, wait a minute, you call Jesus Lord, you call Jesus your leader, and you don't pay any attention to what he says in certain arenas. That's all.
Okay, is that the point that you're saying that the church is missing? That they call Jesus Lord and yet ignore what he says? Because I'm going to go back to the quote that I quoted earlier. What I found shocked me because it contains some of the same old stuff of the organized church that misses the point. And I'm going to skip ahead to what you found. I'll read that back to you. This is a belief statement. Liberty to the oppressed. Every believer a son of God after the Son of God. Every believer a minister of reconciliation, an ambassador for Jesus with his love, his power, his strength, his might, his ability, and his dominion. So, what's wrong with that?
Nothing. I was, and if you notice my conversation with Dad related to it, I asked the same question. What's wrong with it? Wow, this is the stuff that you and I believe and would agree with.
Well, some of it, most of it.
What is it you don't agree with?
Well, that every believer is a minister of reconciliation? Not necessarily. That's an assumption. That basically says that because I'm an evangelist, you have to be an evangelist too, and that sort of behavior usually frustrates me when I see it in others. And I certainly don't like to put what I believe is my purpose or call on someone else.
I mean, nor do I, but I'm not. That's not where I was coming from that particular thing. But what Dad told me to do was go deeper and more, look more deeply, so I didn't even consider that anymore. I was excited. Number one, the article relates to my friend in Portland, Oregon, who had called me on his way back, driving back from Eastern Washington, where the conference was held, and telling me all about all kinds of things that were exciting. And knowing that you were scheduling this phone call today and this recording, I just wanted to be fair and point out that, wow, there are churches that are, you know, moving in this arena of what Jesus promised destiny to us was. And then I got on the one site and blew me away. It was the same old junk on there. And I was told not to refer now to what that junk was in the article. Maybe we'll get into it now. I don't know.
In your second to the last paragraph, you state very clearly, we are under a different leader. And you're speaking about you and I, and I'm sure others. Our only overseer is Dad, period. And that's the difference and the reason why you don't want to go anywhere else but Dad directly. And so you were asking me, what was it about this particular statement that I didn't agree with? Well, what it states here is it's really putting Jesus up on that pedestal, and yet Jesus said to us over and over again, it's not me, it's not me, it's not me.
Where am I putting Jesus on a pedestal?
No, not you. I'm talking about this faith statement that you...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, now I see what you mean. You know, I do what I accuse everyone else of doing, and that is that I interpret things in a certain way, and without realizing I'm doing the interpretation. And you've heard me before say this, and I'm sure you... I think you agree with it, so it doesn't make any difference. But if you don't disagree, I don't care. But that what Jesus said about his words were they weren't his words. They were the words of our Dad coming through him. All his words and all his miracles, all his works were the works of the Spirit coming through him. So as soon as I read that, I make an interpretation. I translate that. So it's a fault. I'm admitting to a fault. If you want to tear me up, that's what you can tear me up about. And by the way, you're starting off just a little bit negatively towards me today, Mr. Bruce.
Well, I want to get to the bottom of this. It seems like there's a mystery here, and I want to get all the way down to the mystery, because there seems to be a conflict in your article, and you're not coming directly out and stating what the conflict is. That's how I perceive it. So you're very clear. Our only overseer is Dad. And then you've got up a little bit higher. You're saying that there's an organizational motto that's saying, no, it's Jesus. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. And wait a second. There's a conflict there. You're saying, no, go to Dad. Go to Jesus' Father. What's the deal here? What is it? Are you saying Jesus or are you saying Dad? Let's be real specific.
Oh, that's where you're coming from. Well, we're going to get technical. He's our elder brother. But if we're going to also be technical related to at least one scripture I love, which is Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so he's still around in one form or another, just not walking around as a man. But it's okay to communicate with our elder brother. And our elder brother is still, it's like communicating with you. I communicate with you and listen to you because I know you go to the well, so to speak, and you come back out of the well after hearing what Dad has said to you, and you express it quite well. That doesn't mean I'm going to buy everything you say unless I confirm it, nor do you ever buy everything I say without confirming it. But, and I'm not trying to evade the question, I don't think, maybe I am. But it's subconscious if I'm doing it. Here's what triggered in me. I go to the website after looking at this statement, which I translated immediately as okay, Dad's voice coming through Jesus, not putting Jesus up on a pedestal, because Jesus said don't. And so I start looking around the website, and here is this guy that calls himself, refers to himself as overseer. Good grief, think of the word, an overseer. If that doesn't have some spiritual implications, I don't know what does. So then I said, that was my first look deeper, more deeply, after I was all excited about Jim's excitement and so forth, and Sonny's excitement. Now I begin to look at each doctrinal statement and realize, holy mackerel, it's the same old junk you see in half of the we believe or our belief statement in most churches who don't believe. So That's where I'm coming from.
Well, there you go again with that churches that don't believe, which is how I started this podcast. And I need to get clear on that. I want to understand. Are you saying that the evidence of the church's unbelief is that they don't follow what Jesus said, and they do things like call themselves overseers?
That's one example, sure.
So what's another example of the unbelief of that's in the church?
You want to cut to the chase. At the end of the article, I said I referred to a false leader in lowercase, and then who is led unconsciously by the false leader. There's what I'm talking about. But what is the, who's the leader of the church? If it isn't the namesake, then who is the leader?
I don't know. Tell me.
Well, you want me to just lay it right out there?
That's what I'm looking for.
Well, and I want to be very careful about it, but it seems to me that a case could be made that who is head of the church is the enemy, Satan, Mammon.
Okay.
Therefore, oh, now I can hear the smile in your voice. Oh, we finally got it clear.
Well, if that's how you feel, I just want to hear how you feel. You're a little bit avoiding it here, and you touch around it. You're attacking it from the sides, but now I'm pretty clear. As far as you're concerned, the leader of the church, any church.
No.
Not any church. There are some churches that are exception to that rule?
I would think so, sure. I don't know. But I'm saying in general.
Okay.
Well, the reason I don't want to say something like that is I've been instructed not to judge the church. Well, that's a pretty heavy judgment. That's worse than an indictment, which is just an accusation anyway. That's a judgment. That's not mine to judge.
So is your statement an indictment or a judgment?
I don't know. Which do you like?
Oh, you're a fine dancer.
Hey, you're the publisher. You put my stuff up. You're the one that publishes my stuff, and you don't mind putting your address and your name and stuff all over the place on it. So why do you publish my stuff?
Well, because you're typically quite direct and open and forthright, and I sense some dancing going on here, and I'm saying, hey, whoa, the music stopped. Sit down on the chair. If you don't have a chair, then leave the room. And so I'm pretty sure you got a chair. And your chair is that, as far as you're concerned, the church is led by the enemy, Mammon. That's a statement. It's a powerful statement. And I think that we should pause there and continue on the second podcast where you can deal directly with that issue. I'd like to see an article from you that directly deals with the church being head by Mammon or the enemy or whatever name you want to call him. If that's what you're saying, and that's one of the reasons why people should go direct rather than sit in the church pew, then let's be clear about it. What's our job here? Our job is to help others find their way directly to Dad. Well, they can't do that if there's someone standing in the way, can they?
Very good. Very well stated.
And so, if you're clear on what that roadblock is, let's talk about it. Let's go deeper. So I'm going to ask you for another article that deals directly with this issue on why you think that the head of the church or the leader of the church is Mammon.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Yeah, if you'll promise, Mr. Bruce, to be a little bit more gentle with me on the next one.
Okay. I promise. Thanks, Brad. I look forward to the article.